friends and folks, and welcome back to Romance of the Two Networks. I'm Six Detmar from Scanline Media.
I'm Jennifer Uncle from Scanline Media.
And I'm Em from Enroll Mapping.
And Jackson is with us in spirit, if not in voice. Jackson, I fucked up the schedule, and so Jackson was like, okay, well, I can't do the actual time we're recording, which is fair, but sent me some hot takes, some freshies that I got in my pocket for when we get to certain points in these three chapters, which are not, you know, not the best chapters we've had, but they're still fun.
Yeah, they're fine.
I feel like the highlight is what we're immediately going to get into with this first chapter.
Yeah, it does start pretty well. I guess we could just get right into, I mean, nobody's, you know, has anybody do the abnormal mapping thing? Has anyone done anything else Three Kingdoms related since we last recorded?
No. Chapter 28, however, is called Lord Guan slays Kai Yang, dispelling his brother's doubts. Liege and Liege men unite against Gu Cheng.
Yeah, so we start out, and as we left off, it was Zhao Houdun riding up to catch Lord Guan, because, you know, he kind of slashed his way through a bunch of checkpoints. And Zhao Houdun is like, how dare you? I'm bringing you in. And then a messenger rides up, and he's like, listen, hold off. His Excellency says that Lord Guan's cool, and you shouldn't hear some documents that'll allow him safe passage. And Zhao Houdun's like, does the Prime Minister know that he killed a bunch of guards? And the messenger's like, no, I don't think we were aware of that by the time I was sent. and Zhao Houdun's like, okay, fine, I'm taking him to go see Cao Cao, and we can decide it from there. And they start fighting. And then another messenger arrives, and he's like, General, stop fighting! The Prime Minister wants you to stop fighting. He says it's okay, and he was worried that the commanders at the checkpoints might stop him. Zhao Houdun's like, is His Majesty aware that happened? And he killed a lot of people? And the messenger's like, no, I don't think we've gotten that far yet. And so Zhao Houdun's like, alright then, back to it! And they start going again, and then the third rider appears, and he's like, okay, I'm from Cao Cao, he heard about the incidents, he wanted him to say passages, he said it's not a big deal, you should let him go. And Zhao Houdun's like, how can I just let him go? This is bullshit. Like, one of my dudes was killed. And he's like, well, listen, it's an order from the Prime Minister, just let him go. And Zhao Houdun's like, okay, fine.
I was gonna say, he leaves a little warning that since Lord Guan killed Qin Qi, which is Kai Yang's nephew, Kai Yang's probably going to come back for vengeance at some point.
Mm-hmm. And so Zhang Yao is like, hey, where are you going? And Lord Guan's like, I don't know. I'm trying to find Xuan De, but I'm not sure where he is. Zhang Yao is like, why don't you come back to Cao Cao for the time being? And Lord Guan's like, that is not happening, but thank you.
Like, I've already killed five or six generals. I don't want to do this whole thing again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they start riding on. And they stop by a rainstorm. They're stopped at a manor house, and an old man named Guo Cheng is there, and he's like, "Oh man, I've long known your great name. Please, you know, come in. Let us pay our respects. Let us feed you." And so Lord Guan and Sun Quan take them up on that. But not all is well in the house of Cheng.
Yeah. Cheng basically tells Lord Guan, I have a pretty terrible son. He likes to spend his time hunting and running around causing mischief. And Lord Guan's like, well, kids will be kids, I guess. And later that night, there's a loud commotion because the son tried to steal Red Hair, but Red Hair just kicked the shit out of him. And everyone raised up and saw what was happening. Lord Guan ends up sparing him because the father's like, Really, I'm really sorry. My son is an asshole. And Lord Guan's like, yeah, you're right, he is. And the next day, the son runs off again, and when they're basically looking for him, and Lord Guan goes to leave when the son comes back with over 100 men who are prepared to take Red Hair, since they're basically being led by someone who professes he once served under Zongju, who was a yellow scarf.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, how dare you follow that man? Well, then you must know about the three brothers.
And he's like, and the guy's like,
I've only heard of Lord Guan. The other two, I don't know who the fuck that is. And so Lord Guan takes off his beard bag. And instantly the guy's like, oh shit. We're super sorry. Here's the brat kid. Why don't you fuck him up? And Lord Guan's like, listen, piss off, because your dad's cool.
Yeah, the leader of these bandits, Pei Wansho, ends up bringing over Zhao Kang, who is basically the leader of him as well. And both of them are like, please let us join your army. We've seen the error of our ways, and we'd like to serve under someone that's actually noble. But Lord Guan initially refuses, saying that basically after talking amongst the women that he's taking back to Xuanda, he realizes that bringing a bunch of people along with him is going to slow them down even more. But
I feel like this is not a great look for Lord Guan. Just a little one, but like, so he talks to the women, and they're like, I mean, there was a previous person who was a yellow scarf who wanted to serve you, and you said, I won't take yellow scarves. And Lord Guan's like, good point, you're exactly right. And then he turns to them, he's like, I was all for it, but the ladies are saying no.
Yeah, and it's one of those situations where they're always like, well, you should discount our opinion because we're just women. And then he, in order to basically couch his opinion, he goes back and says, well, the woman told me this. So it's several layers of this is uncomfortable.
He does say that if they leave now, when he gets back to Xuanda, he'll call for them and they can join the army.
Mm-hmm. And he ends up taking Zhao Kang with along anyway, since he talks with the ladies again. He's like, and they're like, well, if you're just bringing one person along, that's probably fine. And Pei Wansho is left behind to basically keep the army together, because if both leaders peace out, then the army's probably going to scatter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they head on, heading towards Rudan, and they get to a town called Gucheng. And apparently, a couple months ago, some motherfucker named Zhang Fei rode in and just took over. And here he is, just living it up, a minor warlord in ancient China.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then he has the fucking audacity to be like, oh, Lord Guan, you traitor. Like, motherfucker, you just like kicked out an officer and are just like sitting in here drinking. Like, fuck off. And so he's like, oh, how dare you? You've dishonored yourself, you've betrayed our elder brother, you work for Cao Cao, let's settle things. You would lose. But Lord Guan's like, listen, come on, man. I didn't know where he was. I did what I could to survive, and I never intentionally fought against our eldest brother's wishes. Like, I'm trying to meet him now. What's the problem here?
Yeah. Also, he had to take care of, Xuanda's wives, so he was busy.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, listen, like, come on, you're being a little harsh right now. And Zhang Fei's like, you're just a cop, you're here to arrest me. And Lord Quan's like, I mean, I would need an army to do that. And Zhang Fei's like, look behind you, and there's an army. And Lord Guan's like, oh no.
Yeah. Zhongfei is basically like, okay, if you're not a traitor, then you'll get Kai Yang's head, who's leading the charge, by the third drum roll. And Lord Guan's like, all right. And he immediately rides out, lops off Kai Yang's head, and brings it back before the first drum roll has even ended.
Mm-hmm.
He's immediately like, oh, you want me to do this? I'll do you one better, as he often does.
Mm-hmm. And he also brings back the flag bearer, and he's like, explain how badly I fucked over Cao Cao. And the guy's like, no, the prime minister's not very happy about this. And Zhengfei's like, oh, okay, you're cool. Sorry. My bad. So then we get the arrival of Mizhu and Mifang, who are like, oh, hey, you know, it's Zhengfei, Lord Guan, great to see you again. We after that route at Zhizhou, we went home. We looked around and we finally heard that Chuanda was with Yuan Shao and Lord Guan was in Cao Cao. And we were like, we don't know what to do. And then we heard that you, Lord Zhengfei, were here in Gucheng. And we were like, oh, of course, great. So we came to meet you and it all worked out. And so there's a great feast and everyone, and Zhengfei is like, oh, and let me tell you about all the things I went through. The book does not describe them.
The thing I like here is that the two ladies describe all of Lord Guan's accomplishments and everyone's moved to tears. And then Zhengfei just tells about his adventures.
Yeah. And so Zhengfei was like, all right, let's go see Chuanda. And Lord Guan's like, well, hang on. I've tried this a couple of times and he keeps not actually being there. Let's take a minute to make sure and we don't waste our time. And so he goes himself with Sun, just a quick little ride. And, it's like, oh, yep. No, he's gone. He came here for a couple of days and was like, maybe I can still work things out with Yuan Shao.
He's basically as indecisive as Yuan Shao himself.
And so he comes back. He's like, okay, fine. Let's just do one hard ride and we can all meet up with him. And Zhengfei's like, my dude, if we ride off and he's not there, we're fucked again. We have something. We need to hold on to it. And he's like, and also, if you go, you killed all Yuan Shao's dudes. He's gonna be so pissed to see you. And Lord Guan's like, it's cool, I'll just get there and work things out. It'll be fine.
Look, if you can work out things like this with anyone, it would be Yuan Shao. All you gotta do is say you didn't mean to do it, and he'll just agree.
Or you could just say it wasn't me, and he'll say, of course!
Yeah. Though in this case, it seems like they finally learned their lesson, because as Xuanda's talking with Yuan Shao, Shao mentions, oh yeah, I will let you go off on this mission to try and do negotiations with Liu Bao, but just so you know, if Lord Guan ever rides up here, I'm gonna have my revenge. And Xuanda's just like, right, all right.
Xuanda is like, well, you killed two generals that sucked, and he's great. Isn't that awesome? And Yuan Shao's like, you're right, that is awesome. I was kidding.
All right.
Yeah, no, don't give him credit. He waffles again. He was like, and so Yuan Shao, one of his advisors, Jian Yong, is like, listen, Xuanda's not going to come back. I should go with him just to make sure that things work out. And then he's like, okay, great. And then Guo Tu goes to Yuan Shu, and he's like, both of them are going to leave. What are you doing? And Yuan Shao is like, oh, come on, give him a little more credit. And Guo Tu is like, we're so fucked. So then Xuanda meets up with Sun Qian, and they're right to Guan Ding, who is the guy that Lord Guan met earlier, And they're like, oh, hey, you know, here are all, you know, other people with my same surname. Not, I think, directly related, but like, you know, probably a similar lineage or something. And it's like, oh, you know, this has been like, this is great. We're going to like, the son is going to join us and we're going to go meet up with Zhou Kang. And, you know, get ourselves, you know, some forces. And Zhou Kang rides up as they're on their way there. And he's lost most of his men. And he's like, listen, I was on my way here. And this guy named Pei Yuan Shao, rode up and was just murdered, and all of his men surrendered. And so I convinced a few of his men to join me, but the rest were too scared. I don't know, this one dude just fucked us up. And Xuan is like, what's his name? What'd he look like? And Xiu Kao's like, he was scary. Like, okay, got it. And then who emerges from over the hill? It's Xiao Zhilong.
Xiao Zhilong's like, okay, so this guy, he tried to steal my horse, so of course I had to kill him. And so the other men, they kind of just surrendered to me, and now that I'm riding up here, I'm really happy to see y'all.
Mm-hmm. Jackson wanted to make clear their joy at seeing Xiao Zhilong again, the fourth of the third brothers, once again,
yep.
with the crew. I feel like Xiao Zhilong doesn't have much of a personality so far.
No.
Yeah, most of his interactions with the crew so far has been swooping in to help them for a bit, and then having teary farewells with Xuanda when he has to go somewhere else.
He's just a capital G good boy, which is like, okay, I guess that's fine, but he needs to, like, fuck up in some huge way for me to like him, apparently. So, yeah, no, the family's all together, they're all reunited, and there's a quick poem about how, like, oh man, all the brothers are back together again. And meanwhile, Yuan Shao is sitting there, and he checks his watch. He's like, wait, I don't think they're coming back. And he's like, okay, we gotta go fuck up Xuanda. And Guo Tu's like, listen, Xuanda is whatever. We really need to deal with Cao Cao first. Why don't you get a hold of Sun Ce and be like, you know, North and South unite and take down Cao Cao. And Yuan Shao's like, that's a great idea. Let's get it done. What happened next, Ridon?
The one thing I want to circle back on is Lord Guan did pick up a child while he was hanging out with Guan Ding. His son, Guan Ping, is now his, like, ward. He's like an 8-year-old. He's really into martial arts. So I'm sure things are going to go well for him.
Of course. We're going to have Lordette Guan. We're going to have Lord Junior Guan.
Yep.
Lord Guan Jr.? Whatever.
I'm sure he won't leap in the way of something aimed at his adopted father and die instantly. But we'll see.
What? I'm sure he won't get killed by Zhang Fei when he's drunk.
Yeah.
God. As much as I hate Zhang Fei, even killing a child feels like it'd be too far for him.
No. No. I don't think it is. He's the biggest disaster in this entire book.
Fair, that is a good point. So now we have chapter 29, the Overlord of the Southland executes a sorcerer, and the rule of the South passes to green-eyed Sun Quan.
This is a weird chapter.
this one has the unfortunate reality that Sun Ce is not interesting.
I mean, it's interesting how stupid he is here, I guess. So I had liked Sun Ce up until now, because it's just like, oh, he's just like charismatic, and then we're going to get some time with him and he'll develop. And I guess that kind of happens, because this chapter starts out with it being like, okay, so Sun Ce is ruler of Southland. He's got a big army. He's got, you know, he's got everything built up. Everybody likes him. It's great. He was working on getting a marriage between Cao Ren's daughter and his youngest brother. But things got a little complicated. And he was like, okay, well, let me try to be Grand Marshal. I'd be a great Grand Marshal. And Cao Cao refused him. And so Sun Tzu is like, okay, I'm gonna make this plot, and I'm gonna take over the capital. And one of his governors writes a letter being like, Sun Tzu's gonna kill you, I'm pretty sure. And that letter gets intercepted, and that governor is killed. And so, in response to that, Sun Tzu is going hunting, and retainers of the guy, of that governor, are hanging out, and they're like, oh no, we're just hunting. And Sun Tzu's like, oh, okay, cool. And then they just turn around and stab at him. Sun Tzu barely manages to fight them off with help, but he does get shot in the cheek with an arrow. Sun Tzu pulls the arrow out, but it's like, oh shit, it was poisoned. He's in some trouble now.
Yeah, he ends up making it back to a safe place and back to his capital, but a healer tells him that he needs 100 days of rest to get over the poison that ended up going straight into his bones, and he can't get angry at all, or
he wouldn't like himself if he was angry,
or his wounds will reopen, and that suggested itself makes Sun Tzu angry, being like, "What do you mean I can't get angry? I have things to do." Yeah, he, immediately, as he's getting diagnosed, he's already showing that he's not going to make it through this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so after 20 days of resting, there's a messenger who comes, and he's like, Cao Cao says you're really scary, and all his counselors think you're really tough. Like, basically everyone in the Imperial Court thinks you're sick. There's this one guy, though. There's this one guy, Guo Jia, who's like, you're kind of reckless, and you're not very well prepared, and probably you're not that big of a threat. And Sun Tzu's like, how dare he? I will destroy the capital for this. And immediately, like, one of his advisors is like, are you really gonna, like, You're not supposed to move for 80 more days. Are you really gonna, like, kill yourself because you're pissed at one advisor in Cao Cao's court? Meanwhile, Yuan Shao's messenger shows up, and he's like, hey, what if we attack Cao Cao? And Sun Tzu's like, this is perfect. Let's do it. But as he's throwing a banquet to honor the envoy, suddenly everybody's all like, just like a bunch of whispering, and everyone's like, oh man, look, and Sun Tzu's like, what's going on? And it's the immortal Yu. It's Yu Ji, who is a Taoist monk, who is incredibly well respected, and is, you know, just going through, just trying to treat the people. And Sun Tzu's like, a sorcerer!
To be fair, it's fair to sometimes think like, oh, this person is curing every single ailment. He probably is a snake oil salesman. But now's not the time to be picking fights.
You're Sunsea. Why the fuck do you care about a snake oil salesman?
Yeah, and now's not the time to be picking fights with snake oil salesman.
Mm-hmm. And so he drags the man in. And the priest is like, sorry, I was just a normal priest during the reign of Emperor Shun, and I was given this this holy text with 100 volumes all about, you know, techniques for curing pain, and I'm just trying to help people, and I have never once accepted any gift. I just want to help people. And Sun Tzu's like, if that's true, why are you wearing clothes? He's like, we're gonna kill you.
He criticizes capitalism, yet you use an iPhone. How strange.
And yet you use a t-shirt is really the thing. Zhang Zhao, his advisor, is like, this guy's been, like, living here for decades, being, like, a really good dude. You can't just kill him because he owns a shirt. And Sun Tzu's like, I will kill these sorcerers the way a butcher kills pigs. And everybody, including the messenger, is like, you really have to chill out. But Sun Tzu is not having it. Mm-hmm. And then His mom comes to see him and is like, son, what the fuck is wrong with you? Why are you, like, imprisoning and threatening to kill a medic?
Yeah, meanwhile, there's an ongoing drought happening in their area, and Sansa's men plead with him to basically let Yuji pray for rain. And if it rains, then that'll show that Yuji's the real deal. Sansa agrees, and Yuji ties himself to a altar underneath the sun. He says that rain will come, but that, alas, he will not be able to escape his untimely demise. Sansa decides that if no rain falls by noon, Yuji is to be burned alive. So noon rolls around and dark clouds have gathered. It's clearly about to rain, but no rain is falling just yet. So Sansa's like, all right, time's up. I'm going to burn you now.
And well, it's even, he even says it's nearly noon. He starts the fire before noon even arrives.
All right. Oh, God. He's just too eager to burn this innocent man. And as he starts, as he's getting burned by this fire, rain starts to fall down. And he says a few things up into the sky, and then the sun comes back in. Sansa isn't buying it still, and insists that Yuji took advantage of a lucky coincidence, and has him beheaded. Like, it's important to emphasize that even the executioner is like, I don't think I should be doing this, but...
Well, they cut him down from the pyre, and everyone is like kneeling in front of him, knee deep in rain, because that's how much rain hit suddenly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and no one wants to see him executed except for Sansa. So, of course, Sansa gets his head and ends up tying his body outside in a public area. And the next day rolls around, and suddenly the corpse is gone. Not only that, but the image of Yuji, basically Yuji's ghost, is appearing in the main hall, which causes Sansa to pull his sword out and swing it around wildly until he faints.
And then his mom is like, son, you're really fucked up. You killed a holy man. This is going to be a big problem. And Sansa's like, I kill people all the time. It's no big deal.
And Yuji's ghost keeps appearing to him, and his new reaction is every time the ghost appears, he throws his sword, which eventually means that someone is standing behind the apparition when he's throwing his sword, and he just sends a sword straight through some dude's head while he's angrily chucking swords at ghosts.
Well, and it's not just any dude, it's the dude who performed the execution.
Yeah, like, it's very much like a bunch of different predictions are coming together in a way that's almost biblical.
And then after this happens, he stomps out of the temple and he shouts at it like, oh, this temple's full of demons! Sends the person to go to school and be like, why is every single person in this school but me an asshole? Like, figure it out, buddy.
Yeah, so he sets the whole temple on fire and burns it to the ground. And of course, Yuji's ghost is still appearing, and it's at that point where he finally reaches his breaking point. All of his old wounds open because of the stress, and he suddenly realizes, oh shit, I'm gonna die. Like, he immediately has to be like, okay, I have to make peace with what's coming to me. Sun Quan, my brother, you are going to take everything I have. You're going to continue on my legacy. You might want to go to Zhang Zhao and Zhu Yu in order to get some advice. Zhao is good for internal. Yu is good for external. Talk to both of them and you'll be A-OK. And now I must die. at the age of 26. Like, it's worth pointing out, people back then, they didn't have lifetimes as long as we do, but still, 26 is a very early time for someone like this to die.
Yeah, yeah. And so Sun Quan is sitting there crying at his deathbed, and Cheng Shao comes in. He's like, listen, you gotta stop crying. We got fucking shit to do. And Sun Quan's like, okay, all right, let's get to it. And then we're informed that a Han envoy named Liu Wan many years ago was like, all these brothers are super talented. All of them except for Sun Quan are going to die young. It turns out. And so Sun Quan's like, okay, great. I got Shang Xiao. I got Zhou Yu. Everybody's here. Let's start reorganizing the kingdom. This is perfect. And he's asking his advisors for help, and they're like, okay, well, I can recommend Lu Su. He's going to be a great strategy man. We can summon all these other advisors and stuff. And Sun Quan's just sort of like very like respectfully and humbly setting up the new government, basically.
When they finally get in contact with Lu Su, he comes in and basically lets them know that the House of Han, it's pointless trying to take it back from Cao Cao at this point and revitalize it. It's more or less done. That ship has sailed. So the best thing Sun Quan can do for himself right now is to become the Third Kingdom. Or as he puts it, the firm foot of the tripod. Like, turn the Southland into its own thriving nation and defend itself and go from there before making any movements to actually kill Cao Cao or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Cao Cao finds out that Sun Tzu has died, and he's like, perfect, we're gonna go take over the Southland. And one of his advisors, Zhang Hong, is like, the whole land's still in mourning. If you fail, everyone's gonna hate you. Instead, you should take this opportunity to make friends out of them. And so he sends an appointment to Sun Quan to be governor in general, and also promotes one of his friends. And Sun Quan's like, okay, great, this is fantastic. Meanwhile, as Cao Cao is making nice with everyone, the messenger who was sent to talk to Sun Tzu goes back to Yuan Shao, and he's like, so Sun Tzu died. That's news number one. Sun Quan's now in charge, and now Cao Cao is like giving him a bunch of shit, and Yuan Shao is pissed. And he summons all his armies, some 700,000 men, and he's like, okay, it's time. We're gonna settle this. Let's move on the capital. Which of the two great great rivals would emerge supreme, Cao Cao or Yuan Shao?
even without the title of the next chapter, knowing both of these people, it's pretty obvious which one is going to emerge victorious.
I admit that the title of chapter 30. Cao Cao, or Yuan Shao suffers defeat at Guanda, Cao Cao burns the stores at Wu Chao, gave me hope we'd finally be done with Yuan Shao.
No, never.
Listen, I also enjoy, or have enjoyed, having a waffle iron on the throne, but I'm over it. Please die. But yeah, so we start out this chapter, and Yuan Shao's army starts to move out, and Xiao Houdun and Cao Cao begin to rally their forces. Before Yuan Shao has moved out from jail, one of his advisors is like, we should probably relax for a minute because this could go really badly. Yuan Shao is like, how dare you give me advice? Die! And his officials are like, that doesn't make any sense. And Yuan Shao's like, okay. We'll kill him after we get back. And so then, as they're riding out, one of his other advisors, Zhu Shou, is like, listen, we heavily outnumber Cao Cao, but his troops are, like, way better trained and have better, like, morale. But we have better supplies. So basically, we need to outlast them. If we just play defensively, we got this. And Yuan Chao is like, how dare you? Now you're trying to undermine me. Kill him. Again, it's like, wait, no, we'll kill you and Tianfeng at the same time after all this is done. Meanwhile, his dramatic foil, Cao Cao, gets advice from Sun Yu being like, Yuan Shao's army is really big, but they're all stupid. If we take a fight now, we'll be able to win. And Cao Cao's like, that's a great idea.
It turns out to be a terrible idea. Because they get pulled into a fight, and basically everything is going slightly evenly, except Yuan Shao's men end up eventually getting the advantage and pushing Cao Cao's troops back to Guandu. And while they're stuck in Guandu, Yuan Shao's men start digging hills. So they're basically building sniper encampments for their archers. So they have little protective mounds that they can shoot from, like, peeking above the mound. And at some point, Cao Cao wises up, builds several ballistas, and rains stone missiles over Yuan Shao's army until they are no longer willing to use the mounds to shoot at them. And, go ahead.
I do want to take a moment. So you said, like, this goes really badly. I do want to take a moment just to reiterate the numbers. It's Yuan Shao's 700,000 versus Cao Cao's 70,000. I actually think Cao Cao's doing great.
That is a good point. Yeah. Like, that's several times. He has... Yuan Shao has several times the army size of Cao Cao, and yet Cao Cao is able to not get annihilated. That is something.
And so then after the ballistas, Yuan Shao's men try and like tunnel their way in, and Cao Cao talks to his consultants again, and they're like, okay, well, why don't we just dig a trench and fill it with water, and then when they tunnel in, they'll just drown. And that works.
Yeah, even though that defensive maneuver works, at this point, all of Cao Cao's rations are gone, and his army isn't very willing to fight. So he turns to Xun Wenruo for help. Xun says that if Cao falters now, he will be dominated later, so you can't run back. You just need to come up with a strategic plan, because that's what you're good at, Cao Cao. You're good at coming up with plans to... overtake your enemies.
It is time for an ingenious move. Please consider my humble suggestion. Like, Cao Cao's happy with it, but I gotta say, the advice of, like, you should do something really smart, it's just like, okay, great, thanks, man.
Yeah. It's a good way of going, I don't know what the fuck you're supposed to do, but peppering it in with enough sideways praise, so it's like, but you're super smart, you can figure it out.
Yeah.
And Cao Cao's ego is so gigantic that he takes that as, yeah, I can figure this out.
Well, and he does figure it out. Because he's like, okay, well, let me, they are escorting some grain, and the commander they're doing it sucks, so let's just go siege it and burn all their supplies. And they do that. And it works. And so after that, you know, Yuan Shao is furious, but he's like, listen, his advisors are like, listen, we gotta figure out something else. We've got one supply left. We've got Wu Chao. We have to defend it as well as we can. And he sends 20,000 men and General Chu Yuqiang to go defend it. And Chu Yuqiang arrives and immediately starts just drinking his ass off.
Yeah, much like Zhongfei, he has a love for drink that gets in the way of him doing his job.
And so once again, Cao Cao's like, wait, I burned his food. That didn't make me have any more food. I'm still out of food. And so he sends a letter to Zhen Wenruo being like, can you send some food? And the messenger gets captured. And Yuan Shao is brings him forward, and his advisor Zhu Yu is like, okay, this is it. He's vulnerable. He doesn't have any grain. We can just take them out. And Yuan Shao's like, I'm pretty sure this is a trap. She's like, we intercepted his message. If we don't act, we're screwed. And Yuan Shao is just like furious and is like, how dare you? You're probably a spy. Get out of here.
And eventually you send away too many of your advisors and they'll go end up going to the other side. So Zhu Yu cuts his losses and heads over to Cao Cao instead, being like, hey, I can help you out. Just to get an idea of what's happening here, how much grain do you have left? And Cao Cao keeps going like, maybe around 6 months worth? And Zhu Yu's like, try again. You got me. It's like a month or so. Zhu Yu eventually loses his patience and he's like, dude, I know what's going on. You have no grain left. And at that point, Zhu Yu's like, oh, Cao Cao's like, how did you know that? And Zhu's like, we kind of got your letter asking for more grain. And
don't worry, Yuan Shao's too stupid to do anything with the knowledge.
Yeah, and that's why I'm here. And I'm going to tell you a great way to take care of this. See, we have this granary that is being protected by a drunkard. So why don't you just ride in wearing the colors of Yuan Shao's army and take the place? And of course, Cao Cao agrees to it. And I guess around this time, people can just, I guess as a strategy thing, people have colors of their opposing enemy. So they,
I mean, if your color is blue, it's like, okay, let's just get a blue flag. It doesn't seem that hard.
True, true.
And so they're like, okay, great. We're going to ride out. We're going to like everybody just do our stealth thing. We're going to sneak in. We're going to burn everything down. Meanwhile, Zhu Shao, who was previously imprisoned for giving good advice, looks out, and he sees he's like, oh, what's going on? The stars look kind of weird. And he convinces the jailer to let him step outside, and he reads the stars, and he's like, oh shit, Yuan Shao's in big trouble. We gotta do something fast. And Yuan Shao, who is in bed drunk, is like, okay, sure, let him in. And Zhu Shao is like, I've been looking at the sky. Venus is moving the wrong way. Willow and Ghosts, Ox and Dipper. The enemy is going to strike at Wuchou. We have to move now. And Yuan Shao's like, oh, fucking shut up.
And who the hell let you out anyway? Execute that dude. I don't want him anymore.
And as Yuan Shao is being led to his death, he's like, our army is doomed. My bones will have no resting place. Cao Cao advances, and he's like, and they're like, wait, who is this? And Cao Cao's like, it's me, Zhang Qi. I'm here to look at the grain. And Yuan Shao's like, okay, that checks out. And they let him in, and he just starts burning everything. they push their way in. Cao Cao like manages to like turn the fight and overpower the attempt to push them out and kill a bunch of men. Really fucks up Chuan Kyong, the drunk, has his ears, nose, and fingers cut off, ties him to a horse, and sends him back to Yuan Shao.
It's a lot.
That's rough.
People don't have step messages here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just text him. Like, come on. And so Yuan Shao figures out what's going on. He's like, "Oh shit, we gotta go." And one of his advisors is like, "Okay, I'll go. Let me take the army and go save it." And then another advisor is like, "Nope, that's a bad idea. If that's true, then Cao Cao is there. We should hit Cao Cao's home." And then he's like, "No. This is a scheme. He would never leave his base undefended." And so they're insisting, and Guo Tu eventually wins the argument. He's like, no, we have to hit his house. There's nobody there. There are people there. And so he heads back to attack Cao Cao's home of Guan Du, and he runs into Zha Hao Dun and Cao Ren and Cao Hong, and they're being pushed back, and then Cao Cao comes in from behind, and it's just a massacre.
Mm-hmm.
And so the defeated guards of Wu Chao are brought before Yuan Shao, and Yuan Shao's like, "How did you fuck this up?" And they're like, "Listen, Qiang was drunk." And so Yuan Shao just has his head chopped off, which at this point is kind of a mercy, given how fucked up he is. And Guo Tu is like, "Wait, if Zhang He and Gao Lan come back, they were advising against my plan, and they're going to remind Yuan Shao that this was my bad idea." Shit. And he's like, "Oh, my lord, I'm pretty sure that Zhang He and Gao Lan are super stoked that you lost." And Yuan Shao's like, "Oh, how dare they? I'll destroy them." And then Guo Tu, like, I guess smugly, like, sends them a message like, "Haha, Yuan Shao's gonna kill you." And when they arrive, they're like, "Fucking, why is this happening?" And Guo Lan kills the messenger and goes, "Yuan Shao believes any slander. Sooner or later, Cao Cao is gonna take him. Let's go join Cao Cao." And Cheng He's like, "Thank God someone finally said that."
They accused us to defect again and again, so hell, might as well defect.
And so they head in, and Zha Hao Dun's like, "Is this shit for real?" And Cao Cao's like, "Listen, you treat people well, anything is for real." And the two commanders come in and bow, and Cao Cao's like, "Listen, if Yuan Shao listened to you guys, he would have been fine. You two are great. I'm going to promote you. This is going to be fantastic." And everyone's excited, except for Yuan Shao. And so then all we have left, last little bit here, last stretch. Yuan Shao has lost three generals, his supply depot, his army is confused, and Cao Cao's like, "Okay, it's time. Let's finish it off. Let's pretend we're going to attack Xuan Zhao and actually attack Yi. And then also hit Liang, and Yuan Shao will panic, and then we can wipe him out."
Yeah.
And Cao Cao's like, "Okay, great."
Yeah, so they attack Yuan Shao's camp. The army almost instantly disintegrates, and as soon as that happens, Yuan Shao leaves all of his valuables and books it out of there. And as that happens, basically, Cao Cao spreads all of Yuan Shao's left valuables amongst his own army. And while he's there, he finds papers from one of his advisors and finds out they were secretly communicating with Shao from the capital. Cao Cao is like, "You know what? No big deal. You guys are fine. Well, I'll grant you clemency." And even tries to be like, "Zhu Xiao, I'm fine with you being here too." But Zhu Xiao ends up fleeing instead, and that leads him to get executed.
Mm-hmm. And Sasso's like, "I wish I hadn't killed you. You were pretty cool." And he gives him like a special tomb with a great like inscription. I do want to note the moment where Cao Cao as like he gets the letters that are showing people that, you know, some of his people secretly communicating with Yuan Shao, and his advisor's like, oh, you gotta round these people up and kill them. And Cao Cao is basically like, look, everybody makes schemes, it's no big deal.
If I were in their position, I would have done the same.
Yeah, it's honestly, like, weird. Like, his in his own worldview, it's weirdly decent of him to be like, no, we're all snakes, it's fine. And then Cao Cao gives the order to attack Jizou and finish off Yuan Shao. Which I guess we will find out next chapter, which is titled Cao Cao Defeats Yuan Shao.
Seems like you might get your wish about being done with Yuan Shao.
I just, you know, it's fun to see him get his ass kicked, but it's, you know, you need someone to really put up a fight against Cao Cao. Cao Cao's at his best when he's being tested. That, you know?
You're not wrong.
Though he's also pretty good when he's just having every one of the enemy's generals coming to him and being like, that guy sucks, can we kill him for you?
it's everything is in a dire state if Cao Cao is the nicest person in the room, but he is the nicest person in the room right now.
It's also a weird position because I feel like we're just... When is Xuanda ever going to have any actual base of support? He's so good at fucking up anything he gets. I just don't know. I don't know. Like, we're, you know, it's three kingdoms, and it's like, okay, Cao Cao, okay, Sun Quan for the moment, and, like, Xuanda's groupies. I just figure it out, my guy.
I feel like if Jackson were here, they would laugh in a foreboding manner.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough.
Like, I don't know what's happening right now, but it seems like Xuanda's pretty much in his pattern for the rest of the book. I could be wrong about that, though.
Yeah. It does, like, I don't know, these chapters, you know, Jackson made this note ahead of time, but it's like, these chapters, it's really like, oh, here are the main characters, and here are the characters we have to get rid of because we're done with them. And I'm also done with them, so I'm kind of here for it, but it doesn't make the action as interesting.
No.
It's like a TV show that is doing away with some of the side characters to tighten up the budget and get closer to the finish line.
There are still a book and a half left. Anyway, any other closing thoughts here?
I think I'm good. I'm excited for the characters I like to interact anymore. Cao Cao stomping a bunch of generals that don't matter is not interesting.
Yeah.
Only thing I will say is I sure hope this specific Romance of the Three Kingdoms game comes over to the United States since gets localized into English, since apparently it has Legend of Galactic Heroes characters interacting with Cao Cao.
So Jen said that as she posted a link in our private DM that you can't see because you're listening to a podcast.
Yeah.
context is useful. But yeah, there's a good screenshot of Yuan Shao talking to
Yang Wenli.
Yes, there it is. I wanted to say another name because I was like, Xu Wenro, no. Yeah, the fucking worst. Oh, I hate him so much.
I also hate him so much. I've only seen 6 episodes though, but he sucks.
He sucks so much. Wow, that's another podcast. That's the next pod. No, I'm sorry. I'm joking. I'm sorry. I'm super joking. We're not watching.
No, I'm not watching Legend of Galactic Heroes ever, probably. Let's be real.
I mean, I'll watch it. I've seen some. I think it's good. I'll keep watching it, but I'm not starting a podcast for that. I don't, despite what you may have heard, I don't want to die. Anyway, M, on behalf of Abnormal Mapping, can you take it away for our plug area?
Yeah, if you want to find me on Twitter, it's EM_being. If you want to find Jackson on Twitter, it's @headfallsoff. You can find all our podcasts at abnormalmapping.com. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/abnormalmapping. Most people are interested in that because you get Gundam for $1. We talk about Gundam every week. We're in the middle of G Gundam. It's starting to get better. We had a rough start, but I think it's hopefully going to even out soon.
Hopefully. I don't know. I bounced off of G the first time, so I am in the weeds with y'all.
Yeah.
Seeing how it goes. Jen, go ahead.
Sure thing. I'm at JBU3 on Twitter. Most of my stuff can be found at scanlinemedia.com or patreon.com/scanlinemedia. And yeah, we just posted a pretty fun Oops All Anime episode about the Animatrix. Still holds up super well. Some of the shorts hold up less well than others, but it's still a fun watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm Six Detmar. You can find me at Twitter at Six Detmar, SIXDETTMAR. And then otherwise, I'm the same place as Jen. But yeah, until next time, folks.
Read on.
Read on.
Read on.去了骨角证明